Another class, another sermon on the parables of the Bible. This is number 47 of the sermons that we have done on the parables of the Bible. We're in Fish Lake Valley in our new guest house and cookhouse. We're recording there because it's very cold outside. If you could see behind me, you would see the mountains are solid white. And I'm standing right in front of Boundary and Montgomery Peak as I'm speaking right now. We're in the ninth chapter of the book of Zechariah. Zechariah means what? Does anyone remember what Zechariah means?
God remembers.
God remembers. All right. They get an A plus for today. God remembers. Now, let me read to you what the writer and commentator says here about the chapters 9 onward. Chapters 9 onward. It says, after the temple was completed, Zechariah gave several prophecies about Israel's future. Now, this is after the Babylonian captivity and Israel back in their land. And it seems like every time that God rescues Israel, it doesn't take Israel very long to backslide and go back into what she was doing before. After the temple was completed, Zechariah gave several prophecies about Israel's future. And some of this goes in way into the future. Up to the time of Christ. We're going to read about the time of Christ in here, which describes the first and second comings of Jesus Christ. This book contains more about the person, work, and glory of Christ than any of the other, what we call, minor prophets combined. Israel's king would come, but he would be rejected by Israel and his people. He would come unto his own, but his own would not have him. And that's when, according to the book of Genesis, the ninth chapter, Noah's prophecy, that Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem. In other words, the Gentiles would take over the work of Christ. They would later repent and be restored to God. And that's not right now. Israel hasn't repented and been restored back to God yet. Israel, May 14, 1948, they became a nation again. After almost 2,000 years of being scattered all over the world, Israel became a nation again, but they are still not doing what God wants them to do. The king who is coming is our king. May we be found faithful and pure in his sight when we meet him face to face, is what the writer says here. Now we have an oracle. We have a prophecy. And it says, the word of the Lord against the land of Hadrach. And this is northern Aram. Now, the word of the Lord here means the burdens of the Lord also. The burden of the Lord. Zechariah was burdened with God's word that he wanted to bring Israel back to God and tell them what they were supposed to do. He said that the word of the Lord, the oracle of the Lord, the burden of the Lord against Hadrach, which is northern Aram, and will rest upon Damascus, which is in Syria today. That's where Isis is. Remember? Isis. For the eyes of men and all the tribes of Israel are on the Lord. And upon Hamath, too. And this is actually in Damascus still, which borders it. And upon Tyre and Sidon, though they are very skillful, Tyre has built herself a stronghold. Tyre, we know Tyre did that. Kings went against Tyre and they could not conquer Tyre. Tyre had a fortress by the sea. She was almost conquered one time, and she decided from then on there was an island out there just beyond into the ocean, and they built a great fortress around this island. And it had this great moat, which was the Mediterranean Sea. And how can any people come up against them? They felt totally secure. But Alexander the Great, they came up, and Alexander the Great conquered the city on the shore to just find out that they were out there. They had all evacuated and gone out to this island. He scraped up, he tore the whole city down, and he threw all the material of that city into the ocean, and he began to build a crossway to that one, and then he conquered them. God used him to bring about this prophecy. Tyre has built herself a stronghold. She has heaped up silver like dust and gold like the dirt of the streets. But the Lord will take away her possessions. And God did. Through Alexander the Great, he took away her possessions. God uses nations, whether they know they're being used or not. But the Lord will take away her possession, destroy her power on the sea. She is a great sea power. And she will be consumed by fire, and Ashdod will see it and fear. Gaza will writhe in agony, and Ekron too, for her hope will wither, and Gaza will lose her king. Gaza, now this is what we call the Gaza Strip today, isn't it? Gaza is part of the Gaza Strip today. And Ashdod will be deserted. Foreigners will occupy Ashdod. And I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. The Philistines. What, remember what Philistines mean? Remember what Philistines mean? Philistines means crude and uncultured people. A crude, vulgar people. That's what the Philistines. And this is where we get the word Palestine from, is the word Philistine. Palestine, the land of Palestine, comes from the name Philistine, which means crude, uncivilized, gross people. And I will cut off the pride of the Philistines, and I will take the blood from their mouths, the forbidden food from between their teeth. Those who are left will belong to our God, Elohimu, our God, and become leaders in Judah. And Ekron, they'll be like the Jebusites. Now, the city of Jerusalem is the old city of Jebush. Jebush. The Jebusites were, they founded the city of Jerusalem. Now, later on, it was called the city of Jerusalem, which means the city of peace, which it never has been. And I will defend my house. God says, I will defend my house. And he keeps using the word Jehovah El Shaddai, God all-powerful. But I will defend my house against marauding forces. Never again will an oppressor overrun my people, for now I am keeping watch. Now, what period of time are we talking about here? It sure isn't today. It wasn't in the days of Jesus. This is talking about days to come. Days to come when Israel has really repented. The coming of Zion's king. Zion is a high spot in the city of Jerusalem. Many people think that actually Abraham offered Isaac on Zion, Mount Zion, instead of Mount Moriah, which is a little bit lower. That's their opinion, but the Bible says Mount Moriah. But Mount Moriah and Zion are right there together. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. And this is Matthew, the 21st chapter, and John, the 12th chapter, what we're talking about, Jesus coming into Jerusalem. This is his triumphant entry when Jesus came into Jerusalem, and he took the reins of his kingdom away from those Levites, away from the Sanhedrin, away from the priest. He became the king of Israel that day, but they did not accept him. All the more, they wanted to murder him. They wanted to murder him. The Sanhedrin court was a group of 70, and Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he had several names, Jethro. He was the one that told Moses to pick out men that cannot be bribed, pick out men that have not their own pride and their own greed involved in any judgment. Make these men that are blameless part of this 70. Well, when Jesus comes along, we find the whole 70 are crooked. Gentle and riding on a donkey, and a colt and a foal of a donkey. And now this is where Jesus told his church members, you go out and you get me a donkey that has never been ridden before, that has his mother there with her, the little Jenny there with this donkey, and you bring them to me. And he said, if they ask you, what are you doing with them? Because this was a donkey thieving, you know. He said, the Lord has needs of it. And the Bible says that the Lord owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, including all the donkeys and all the horses and even all the Mustangs up here in Nevada. on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be broken, and we will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea. Now, this is talking about what? When Jesus really becomes king, this is during the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And not long from now, we're going to have a chart up here on the wall so I can point to the chart and say, this is what period of time we're talking about. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, behold, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Because of the blood of my covenant. What blood of my covenant? Jesus' blood. Of his Hekine Deitheke, the new covenant. I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit and return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. The title of this message is Prisoners of Hope. You know that not one of the patriarchs ever received what God promised them. Not one. Abraham never received the promised land. Isaac didn't receive the promised land. Jacob didn't receive the promised land. We go all the way down, and all the way down to David and Solomon, and they didn't have all of it. All the way down to Egypt. He said, return your fortress, O prisoners of hope. We are prisoners of hope also. We believe we're saved by grace and we're saved by faith. The faith comes from God, and that is a living hope. Mm-hmm. A living hope that we're saved by. We can't see heaven today. We can't see the goal of our lives today. But we're prisoners of hope. We believe in our hearts that God shall give it. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, every one of them passed down that promise to their children and teaching their children that God had promised them this. And they were prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope. We are prisoners of hope. One of these days, our hope will be reality. Return to your fortress, prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow, and I will fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and make you like a warrior's sword. Then the Lord will appear over them. The Lord will appear over them. His arrow will flash like lightning. Oh, the sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet. We talk about the sovereignty of God. Is he sovereign? Yes, he is. Did God make man in his sovereign image? Yes, he did. The most dangerous gift God ever gave you was the freedom to come or go, to follow him or reject him. No man will ever be responsible in hell for not having been given the atonement of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for all men. It's efficacious only for the elect, but he died for all men. No man will go to hell because of sin. Men will go to hell because of the rejection of Jesus Christ. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet, and he will march in the storms of the south. And Jehovah El Shaddai, Almighty, will shield them. They will destroy and overcome with sling stones. And they will drink and roar as with wine. And they will be full like a bowl, used for the sprinkling of the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God, Jehovah their Elohenu, will save them on that day as the flock of his people. And they will sprinkle in his land like jewels in a crown. I've heard many sermons preached like jewels in the crown. They will be sprinkled in that land one of these days, and they will be pure. Israel will be born again as in one day. They will be born again as in one day. How attractive and beautiful they will be. Grain will make the young men thrive, the young men fat, and new wine the young women. They'll have plenty of food. There will be no cocoa burgers. There will be no stinging nettles. There will be no goat heads. There will be no sandburrs. Now, you people that know what tumbleweeds and all these things are, these are horrible curses that mankind has brought upon himself. But there will be none of that. The roses will not have thorns on them. You know, roses are good to eat. They're full of vitamin C. I used to have a duck one time that come up with me when I was trimming the rose, and he'd grab those rose hips and those leaves off of those, or petals off the rose, and just gobble them down. He'd go up, grab them. He thought he was helping me trim the roses. Roses are good to eat. You just watch a horse or a cow or even a chicken sometimes. They'll go and they'll eat the roses. Mm-hmm. Everything in this beautiful kingdom will be edible and non-toxic. Non-toxic. We have deadly nightshade now. You know, the American Indians genetically improved nightshade plants, made peppers out, made them into peppers, made them into tomatoes, made them into potatoes. These are all deadly plants. They genetically engineered them and gave that gift to the world. God is going to turn everything around during this period of time now. He is going to give us all that we need to eat. Every man, there won't be one skinny man left around. There won't be no starving people left. Marilyn and I, yesterday, we got a visitor. Marilyn named her Smokey. Now, some people got about 7 calves, and we live up on Chattavish Creek. And these 7 calves, they kept them around and fed them a little bit, and then just quit feeding them and turned them loose. So we'd go out and kill the mice and the gophers and squirrels and stuff around here. Well, right now, this time of the year, it's close to zero every night, and the squirrels and the mice and everything are not out. And this little old calico cat, and mostly smoke-colored calico, she came up and she was just crying, wow, 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 wow. She was dying. She was starving to death. It took me a little while to pet her, a few hours, and when I start to pet her, she'd go, every time I had this hiss and blow. And when I finally touched her back and caressed her back, she just went, started purring. And then she would rather have me pet her than eat, and she was starving to death. You know, that's the way God is with us. He wants to feed us His Word. He wants to love us. He wants to be our God. He wants to be our God. And yet we... And once He touches our lives with His Spirit, we become prisoners of hope, a living hope. Prisoners of a living hope. That little cat now, she wants me to pet her more than she wants me to feed her. She's hungry. I think she's got strength today. She's probably out running around looking for a mouse. Yesterday, she was so sick. Mm-hmm. And we could whistle and holler for her and call Smokey, and here she come running. And she was so starved that she could not eat very much at all. We put down just quite a portion of the food that she could only eat so far, and she'd have to just quit. Her stomach has shrunk up so much that she can hardly eat anything at all. And people that are starving sometimes, they have very little appetite. They have to eat a tiny bit at a time. The world is like starving people. They don't know what they're missing. Once the touch of God comes upon them, they start purring and they realize that they have been sinners. Peter said to Jesus, "Oh, Lord, don't touch me. I'm a sinful man." We're all sinful men. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. By the grace of God only is how I get to heaven. I have people sometimes call me reverend, and it just makes me just shrink. There's nothing in me to reverence. I'm just a man. I am a man that loves God. I'm a man that loves to preach God, but I am only a man. I am nothing to be revered. Nothing to be revered at all. I hope you see Christ through me. I hope people see Christ through me in some way. But I am no sinless white priest from the Catholic Church. And we know that they are not sinless and white priests from the Catholic Church. There is no one in this world worthy of being reverenced but Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to revere somebody? Revere Jesus. Our Father, we come to you. We thank you for your word. Help us to look at it. Further go into it. And the Lord Almighty will shield them and they will destroy and overcome with sling stones, and they will drink and roar as wine, and they will be like a bowl used for sprinkling the corners of the altar. And remember these words. The Lord their God will save them on that day as a flock of his people. Are you one of God's people? Are you one of his flock? Are you his enemy? And they will sparkle in his land like jewels in the crown. Are you like a jewel in the Lord's crown? Are you like a pig in a mud hole? We're either sheep or we're pigs, one or the other. How attractive and beautiful they will be. Grain will make the young men fat and thrive. And new wine the young women sing. Thank you for your attention today. I hope this thrills your heart as it has mine as we study God's Word, the parables of the Old Testament. We see all kinds of parables here. All kinds of similes, metaphors, allegories. As we look into God's Word. In Jesus' name, we pray.